Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last month, the head of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai, unveiled plans to repeal the landmark 2015 rules we've come to know under the term net neutrality. These are Obama-era rules that prohibited internet service providers from impeding consumer access to web content. Now, the FCC chairman argues that the rules are too heavy-handed and have stifled innovation and investment in the broadband industry. However, net neutrality supporters worry that repealing these net neutrality rules will allow internet service providers to block or to slow down websites they view as competitors. Well, on Thursday of this week, the FCC will vote on whether or not to scrap the net neutrality rules. And with Republicans in control of a majority of the FCC's seats, Ajit Pai's plan is expected to pass. In just a moment, we'll hear the perspective from the head of a locally based internet service provider in Northwest Iowa. But first, producer Emily Woodbury spoke with several protesters outside the Verizon Wireless store in Cedar Rapids. They were protesting Ajit Pai's proposal to repeal net neutrality regulations. There were over 20 people holding signs trying to catch the attention of drivers off Collins Road.
My name is Doug McVicker. I'm from Ely, Iowa, which is a suburb of Cedar Rapids. We're here to hopefully preserve net neutrality, which is a huge issue right now. The FCC is preparing to repeal the rules that enforce net neutrality, which basically preserves the internet as we know it today. So believe it's a really important issue. We want to get it out there and make people aware of it.
And you say we, who are you with?
We're with, actually, I don't really have any affiliation officially. We did this through the Team Internet. I saw the thread on Reddit and looked for an internet event that was going to be close to me, and there were none. So I'm not generally an organizer of these things, but since there was no one signed up, I decided to sign up and lead this and try to get the word out.
And what aspect of this are you most concerned about?
There's a lot of aspects that feed into the net neutrality argument, but for the most part is I just want to preserve the internet as we know it, as it pertains to free access to information for everyone. And also, I believe that if we repeal net neutrality, that the big money will have more influence than they already have in how we access information.
And we're standing in front of a Verizon Wireless store in Cedar Rapids today. Why this location?
We picked Verizon because the current head of the FCC was formerly the head lead counsel attorney and lobbyist for Verizon, Ajit Pai. So it's basically the circle of corporate attorneys and lobbyists going into the FCC and other commissions, and that's really concerning. And I think it's kind of telling because his goal when he was with Verizon was to repeal net neutrality, and now under the current administration, he's been selected as the chair of the FCC, so he's doing exactly what he intended to do with Verizon, and that's to repeal net neutrality. We want to make it clear that this isn't a left versus right or a Republican versus Democrat issue. If you use the internet, this affects you and will affect you. And the large internet service providers, that being Mediacom, Time Warner, Verizon, AT&T, they spent hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to influence our politicians and the FCC to get what they want. So they have a huge stake in this, and they're looking to add more revenue streams. So they've basically has been a gift to the big internet service providers from our politicians, and they've chosen to accept what essentially is legalized bribes to help the internet service providers as opposed to their constituents.
Sure.
Yeah. Could you tell me your name and where you're from?
Vicky Buska, Hiawatha, Iowa.
And what does your sign say, Vicky?
If you're not paying attention, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention, which is very true. A lot of people are not, and things are getting pretty serious.
What are you most concerned about? What brought you here today?
Mostly the tax bill. I am really concerned that it's going to eviscerate the middle class, do away with health care for many people, and just take away the social network of everybody for the benefit of the 1%.
And are you also here on the issue of net neutrality as well?
Absolutely. That is very important to me because as a member of the resistance, how will we keep in touch with each other if they clamp down? They've already tried controlling the TV with the Sinclair merger. They're trying to do it with the newspapers and now the internet. They cannot take our means of communication.
So you're concerned that the repeal of net neutrality could silence some voices?
Absolutely.
What makes you, or what leads you to believe that would happen, or that could happen?
Because the resistance, they don't want the resistance. And if they can squash that, then they win.
And who is they? Who are you referring to there?
Basically, Republicans and anybody in control of the Congress right now that are activating all these laws that are so detrimental to the middle class.
I'm Greg Rice from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm here because I'm a former small business owner, and I believe in the power of net neutrality. It's a simple, single regulation that says we're not going to have any more regulation of the internet, meaning that an internet supplier, such as Verizon or MediaCom, can't make the decisions on what content I should be able to get to on the internet and how I get that content. I'm worried about what impact it will have ultimately on small businesses who are just starting out trying to bring innovative technologies to existing business models.
And what leads you to believe that this would impact small businesses?
Sure. So let me give you an example. Imagine you're a small business just starting out, like you're tomorrow's Netflix. But, you know, Netflix is in a streaming media business, a business that arguably MediaCom and Verizon earn as well, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, MediaCom wants to be able to supply you with their on-demand video services. But you, Netflix, a new business perhaps starting out, want to be able to offer a secondary service to consumers. You don't want MediaCom to prevent you from accessing the small business such as Netflix and preventing you from being able to select them as your on-stream media provider. At the end of the day, that's something that I worry about. That when you're giving that much power to an internet service provider, who in many areas is already an existing monopoly, that's something that consumers should be worried about, small businesses should be worried about, and ultimately we in terms of the U.S. citizens who want access to broad services and have freedom of speech on the internet should be worried about as well.
Producer Emily Woodbury speaking recently with several protesters outside the Verizon Wireless store in Cedar Rapids. Well, let's get the perspective as we talk about net neutrality rules and perhaps the end of net neutrality. Let's get the perspective of a locally based internet service provider here in Iowa. Chad Cleveland is general manager of Lorenz Municipal Power and Communications. That's in the northwest Iowa town of Lorenz, population of about 1,100. Chad Cleveland, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me on today.
Hey, I wanted to play a little bit of a clip. You actually sat down met with Ajit Pai. He stopped in Lorenz, and Ajit Pai mentioned Lorenz Municipal Power and Communications in a recent interview with NPR's Rachel Martin just before Thanksgiving. Let's have a listen to the portion where Lorenz is mentioned.
What about small towns where there aren't any choices for ISPs? Let's say you just got one, and if that's ISP decides that they're going to slow down your internet service or limit the speed of certain websites, what are your options?
Two different answers. Number one, the solution to that is not heavy-handed regulation from Washington. It's more competition. And so I've talked to a lot of companies that say, look, we want to be able to invest in these networks, especially in rural and low-income urban areas. But the more heavy-handed the regulations are, the less likely we can build a business case for doing it. Secondly, if you talk to some of these providers, and I visited them, government-owned ISPs in Lorenz, Iowa, small fixed wireless providers in Parsons, Kansas. These are the small companies that are the most necessary to provide competition, an alternative to the big guys in some of these towns. They are the ones who are suffering the most, and they've told us that on the record.
Okay, Ajit Pai in on NPR's with NPR's Rachel Martin. Tell us, Chad Cleveland, does he have it right? Is he characterizing that correctly? What do you think? Will it benefit, this change, benefit smaller local internet service providers?
Actually, there's a couple ways to look at this. This regulation, first off, is, as far as Lorenz is concerned, you know, as small as we are, you know, we haven't been blocking or throttling access. We never have, and we never will. So if there's and we do have competition here in Lorenz, we're I think fortunate for our consumer base that we do have that competition. I don't know that the competition that we have is still large enough that they would consider doing those things. As municipals across the state of Iowa, I don't know that there's any one municipal that would go back or go to and even try to do the blocking or the throttling or anything of that nature.
Can you tell us, and perhaps this changes depend on the size of the internet service provider, how this will look from customers' perspective, how this will possibly change things?
I think in Northwest Iowa, and maybe for the most of Iowa, I don't think the consumers are going to see a big change or much of a change. Again, the larger providers, such as the one competitor that we have here in town, I don't even know if they would do some of the things that people are worried about. If they do, in Iowa, one of the things that I know that is unique to Iowa is there is a lot of independent-owned telephone companies and internet providers, municipal providers, as well as investor-owned. So if those bigger companies want to start playing those type of games, there is competition in most parts of the state, and they can go to us. I think that, as far as that goes, that will help Lorenz. If our competitor wants to do that, you know, that's just going to definitely keep bringing the customers over to me. So,
Can you give us an example of what you would call a heavy-handed regulation that's unnecessary that you've had to deal with up to this point?
Each year, the paperwork that I have to fill out for the government is a daunting task. Luckily in Lorenz, I can spend most of my time here in the office and completing those reports and doing those things. That's what I would love to see be reduced. That is what's I think is probably the most frustrating part of my job.
Let me ask you, what did you and the FCC chairman discuss when he came to Lorenz to visit?
Hey, that was the first time I've had a top-ranked government official in Lorenz, Iowa that I've got to meet anyway. And Chairman Pai is, I tell you what, one of the more down-to-earth people I've met with. And basically, he wanted to come and see how we did things here in Lorenz, how we operated, what our facilities looked like, what we're offering. We did cover a lot of subjects, and one of the discussions was on this net neutrality and how it affected us. Again, as I told him, as I told you guys. So,
and it was great.
That was awesome.
And you were under the impression he was really listening. Open to your ideas and really trying to probe how this would impact you.
Yes. Yes, I did.
So this change in rules, Chad, kind of revolves around a basic question of how you view an internet service provider. Do you see them as a sort of a utility service, a phone service, or is it an information/news service. And I wondered how you see that question.
Well, that's a good question, Ben. Technically, we call it a utility here in Lorenz because our communications utility encompasses internet, TV, and telephone. It really is an information service is what it is, I think. I think, and that's the future of this country. I think everything, all the content and communications that we're going to do in the future is going to be over the internet. So really, I guess right now I would lean toward more of an information. Instead of a utility as stated in some of the regulations today.
All right. Thank you very much. Chad Cleveland, General Manager of Lorenz Municipal Power and Communications. We appreciate it, Chad.
Well, thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. A few minutes more talking about the planned repeal of rules that we've come to know under the term net neutrality. The FCC chairman argues that these rules are too heavy-handed. They've stifled innovation and investment in the broadband industry. Net neutrality supporters, you heard some of them a few minutes ago in Cedar Rapids, worrying that the repeal of net neutrality rules will allow internet service providers to block or slow down websites they view as competitors. Well, the decision is going to happen this week. The FCC will vote on whether or not to scrap the net neutrality rules. But I don't think there's much in doubt. Republicans are in control of a majority of the FCC's seats, so it's likely this rule change will go through. Finally, joining us today in our Ames studio, Tony Townsend is with us, Iowa State University Associate Professor of Information Systems. Tony, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
I don't know if you follow this, but it doesn't look like any doubt that this rule change is going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much inevitable at this point. Mm-hmm. It's been a longstanding goal of the Republican Party to throw this stuff back.
Mm-hmm. So you heard Chad Cleveland of Lorenz, the municipal power and communications there that runs that town's town of about 1,000 people there, their internet service. You heard some other people with great concerns about this rollback. What are your concerns regarding the FCC plan?
Well, my biggest concern is that the FCC plan, as it's currently written, tosses out the common carrier expectations that the 2015 net neutrality law put in place.
What does common carrier mean?
Common carrier refers to any entity that carries things for other people in common. So UPS, I think, is a common carrier. Trucking companies, the trains, telephone companies are common carriers. They can't deny anybody access to their work. Cable companies have long fought the notion of being a common carrier because they claimed they were essentially a broadcast-type operation and they didn't have to allow anybody else to use their lines. But the other common carrier in telecommunications, the telephone company, actually is required to let other people use their lines for an appropriate fee. So what the cable companies have accomplished is they have this incredibly, you know, robust wire service that has monopoly access to your home, and they don't want to let anybody else use their lines to provide you alternative services. And it's tremendously competition stifling.
Mm-hmm. So spin that out a little bit. How will that happen if my internet provider, they own all this infrastructure? Are you saying that a startup, some kind of entities there that depend on broadband would just be seen by my internet provider as not something that they want to encourage, in fact, discourage?
Well, they can simply bar them from access so that they don't even start up. If you look at your local internet service providers other than your cable company, they're all based on DSL line sharing with the telephone company because the telephone company has to grant them access for their business venture. And so what you'll see is just a continuous devolution of everything other than the cable company's services, and I think that really hurts consumers. Wouldn't it be great if there was an alternative cable or internet service provider that had the same kind of guaranteed speeds that you get from, say, a Mediacom or a Comcast? You can't get any of those things from DSL, particularly if you're further, you know, from a substation or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You heard Chad Cleveland there of Lorenz. It seemed to be a mixed bag for him. He didn't see this as a problem. How do you interpret what he said?
I think Chad's looking at it short well, not short-sightedly, but he's looking at his local business. The fact of the matter is that Lorenz Cable is getting their internet from somebody else. I mean, their internet access has to go through a variety of providers. And the really big providers, the AT&Ts, the Verizons that control the stuff in an intercity, you know, mode, they can cut deals that will change access for people. Mm-hmm. So it's not Lorenz company that's going to be causing the problem. It's going to be whoever he gets to the internet through is going to be causing the problem. Mm-hmm. So it's really, if they were listed as common carriers, you could regulate them as a utility across the board, and you would have access for other kinds of startup companies that maybe didn't want to restrict the same way that, you know, some other company did.
Okay, so your big concern, one of your big concerns, the common carrier aspect going away. So how does that change our landscape? It's not going to happen overnight. I think you'd agree with that. But in how long will our landscape change, and what do you predict it will change to? Describe it.
Well, my personal belief is that it's going to hit the courts real quickly. I think that the only, I would say, lasting sort of salvation of real competition in the ISP space is going to be after a series of court challenges, and there have historically been a few of them. When the Obama administration passed the net neutrality laws in 2015, there were court challenges, and the courts, at least in New York, or excuse me, D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, upheld that the retraction of or the imposing of a common carrier designation for cable companies mm-hmm. Was appropriate. And, you know, a lot of flack going back and forth as to how this stuff works out. But and that follows a long series of court challenges to cable companies to grant access. A big one was back, I think, 2005. Mm-hmm. Scalia, interestingly, wrote in dissent that he felt that the Supreme Court was wrong to ignore the utility aspect of ISPs through cable companies.
So, to Tony, with less than a minute left, do you have any advice for people very concerned, upset about what the FCC is expected to do here this week? Is there any recourse?
Ultimately, your local cable access is controlled by either city councils or cable boards at the city or county level. I would suggest that people get much more active in demanding that their city councils or their cable boards intervene positively for the kind of things that they want to see from their cable services.
Tony Townsend, thanks for coming into our studio in Ames.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Townsend is Iowa State University Associate Professor of Information Systems. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.